Moving and grooving right along here on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham, sitting in for our guy Kevin Sheehan. He is back with you on Monday. We'll take you up to 1 p.m. Remember, make sure you keep it locked. Coming up, top of the 12 o'clock hour, we'll get into Terry McLaurin and a potential contract extension with the Washington Commanders. Trevor Sikkema, Pro Football Focus, put out his top 10 wide receivers heading into next year. He will join us at about 12:30 to reveal where he put Terry and what type of deal he thinks the Pro Bowl wide receiver is in line for, as he is set to be an unrestricted free agent coming up next year. Right now, we go out to the guest hotline for the first time this show. We find our pal Grant Paulson, the host of Grant and Danny, weekdays 2 to 6:30 over on 106.7 The Fan. Also the co-host of the Bustin' Loose Baseball podcast with our pal Toby Altizer. You can download that wherever you get your podcast. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
Linnell, what's good, buddy? How are you?
I am good. Doing a lot better after the way the Nats have been playing. Bobby Barrels last night. Robert Hassel, as you tweeted, became the first player in Nats history to record a multi-hit game and a stolen base during his major league debut. What were the vibes like last night at the park? And for you, someone who follows this thing super close, were you at all surprised by Robert Hassel being prepared for a big-time moment?
I wasn't surprised by the performance because it's a long time coming. He's waited 5 years for this. He was drafted out of high school at 18, Linnell, by the Padres, eighth overall. At that time, he was actually viewed as kind of a can't-miss, top-of-the-board talent, obviously, to go that high. But he was one of the better prospects in the game at one point in time because he's a complete player. You know, all the five tools are part of the tool belt for him. He can run. He can field. He's got some power, although I'd say at this point it's probably, fringe average. He's more hit for tool with doubles ability going gap to gap. And he's a guy who's going to steal some bases for you. So I think he can do a little bit of everything. Yeah. Over the last couple of years, he has dealt with a bunch of injuries. And because of that, his production has waned in the minor leagues. And, frankly, I think he's not the prospect he once was because as he's played more and more, I think, there are areas where you'd say, okay, there's nothing plus. There's not like this great carrying tool where he's got a 70 grade ability on the 2080 scouting scale. Like, he's not going to do anything at a really, really high level. He's just a very solid player. But to come up as experienced as he was in the high minors, double and triple A, he played more games at those two levels than most of the guys the Nats call up that are high-end prospects. And he had a great first game. As you mentioned, he had two hits. He actually got robbed in the ninth mm-hmm. inning. Should have had a third hit. Michael Harris made a diving catch. His first hit came on the first pitch he ever saw on the show, which was awesome. He laced it right into right field, kind of stayed within himself, and it was just a really good approach. And then he immediately stole second and fueled a multi-run rally, a four-run inning. So really impressive game. He scored the game-winning run, by the way, coming around in the 10th inning as the courtesy runner at second and extras. So it's just a memorable night for him and his family, and it was good vibes to answer your question at the park, man. That's five straight wins for the Nats, six of their last seven. They needed this after a rough patch. They lost seven at one point last week without a win. So they're kind of erasing that with their winning streak right now.
Yes, they are. And, you mentioned they're winners of five in a row. The big issue with this group to start the season has been the bullpen. They've actually turned a corner during this mini run as well. During their first 39 games, the bullpen's ERA 7.29. Their last 10 entering last night was 3.12. Do you think this team is turning a corner, Grant, or is it a byproduct of, back-to-back series against, the Orioles and a kind of a struggling Atlanta team?
No, I think they're playing a lot better because of what you just said. I mean, The bullpen has gone from being historically awful, one of the worst we've ever seen statistically to that point in the season. I mean, that's not hyperbole. It was that bad. To pitching like a big league bullpen. And it's not just random. I mean, they've made a lot of changes. They got rid of two of the guys that were among their worst relievers early in the year. A lefty, Colin Poche, righty, Lucas Sims, who are no longer with the organization. And they have brought up some young arms that they've given a chance from their system in Jackson Rutledge, a former first-round pick, who was a starter they converted to the bullpen, and Cole Henry, a former second-round pick out of LSU, who was a starter they converted to the bullpen after a ton of injuries. And both of those guys have pitched very effectively. In fact, Cole Henry last night, Linnell, had a scoreless inning. He's pitched 15 times, and 14 of them he is not allowed a run. Now, both of those guys initially just got a lot of low leverage, insignificant innings, but they have now started to get more and more opportunities in higher leverage which is very smart. And I think it has helped them a lot. And then, you know, they've been able to get the ball generally to their closer, Kyle Finnegan, who is a big league, legitimate, credible reliever. And he's had a very, very strong start to the year as a closer. So now you're talking about having kind of three guys you trust in their roles. They've added to their bullpen by getting their rotation a little healthier. Michael Soroka, who got hurt in his first start of the year and missed several weeks, is back in the rotation, which means Brad Lord, who was filling in out of the bullpen and into the rotation, is now back in the pen to give them some length, even though he scuffled a little bit. So when you add all that together, you know, then you could just get guys that have, you know, started slow that are improving, like Jorge Lopez, or, you know, Jose Ferrer goes from being maybe a setup man to the middle innings and a little bit of less of a, you know, high wire act for him. It's worked out. So they're pitching a lot better. And when that happens with this lineup, they're going to win a lot more baseball games. I mean, they've got I'd say a serviceable rotation, and they've got a average-ish lineup. I've been joking all year that they're a 500 team with like a 60-win bullpen, right? So you add those two things together and you're not near 500. But lately they've been a 500 team with a 500 bullpen, and that's how you start to string some wins together.
With the record in mind here, and obviously it's just May the 23rd, so very, very early on here still, after last night's win, five games back of the final wild card spot in the National League, With things starting to come together for this bullpen, Grant, when you got James Wood hitting the ball the way that he is, C.J. Abrams off to a crazy start, Bobby Barrels now being called up, K-Bear, who we'll get to in a second, had a really special moment last night. He's hitting it well. Nathaniel, all I do is hit RBIs low, hitting it well. Do you see them being in this wild card race for the majority of the season, and what would they have to do by July's trade deadline for Rizzo and company to make a move as a buyer?
So I don't think that's realistic, you know, raining on a parade here. I just don't think they're that caliber. But look, they've got a chance to change the opinion on that, and they get to decide that with how they play. I think they're short in the bullpen, as we just talked about. They're running hot right now, but, you know, there's going to be cold stretches as well. I think, you know, big picture, the frustration is they're a couple players away.
Yeah.
And they've been that for the majority of the last couple of years, and they certainly, this offseason, I think most people in the fan base knew they probably need one more slugger who can drive in runs and hit home runs, and they didn't do that. And they either needed a starter or a couple of relievers or both. And that doesn't, you know, the relievers part doesn't cost you nearly as much money, but they just don't spend it anymore, really, or haven't in many years. Maybe they will again at some point. And so that's the annoyance for me, and the frustration for me is it's going really, the plan's going well. The baseball operation controls the rebuild and the trades, and let's make sure you get good players for Soto. Enter Wood, Abrams, Gore, Hassel. You know, let's make sure that James Wood becomes what he's supposed to. He's 22 and on pace for 40 homers and 110 RBI. He's going to be an all-star this year, maybe. Let's make sure C.J. Abrams repeats last year as an all-star. He's going to be an all-star for the second time at 24 years old, possibly. Let's make sure Gore takes another step. Every year he gets better. He's leading the major leagues in strikeouts on the mound right now. Like, there's some really good things happening. You mentioned K-Bert Ruiz, who's made a huge leap this year and is really helping them out offensively as the catcher with the most hits and the highest batting average.
Which is crazy.
Who plays every day.
Based off how last year went.
What's that?
I said the K-Bears turnaround, I think, is one of the more, you know, really special storylines of the season based off of what he went through last year.
100% agree with you. All that's working out, and it's part of the plan, but it's like, where are my reinforcements?
Yeah.
The way it's a bad analogy, but like, you know, in a movie or something, when you draw up a battle plan, you're like, all right, you guys go in first, and you hold your own, and I want you to fight and scratch and claw and, you know, bite kneecaps. And then right when you need us, we're coming over that hill. And it's like they did that, and they're looking back, but nobody's coming over the hill. They didn't sign anybody. You know, they didn't go get the 30-homer, 100-RBI right fielder. They didn't go sign the starting – their starting pitcher is an oft-injured guy who's already been injured for the majority of the season. You know, the relievers were $2 and $3 million bargain bin grabs who have been cut mostly. So it's like – you know, when you play cheap games, you know, these are the results sometimes. So that's kind of my frustration. I will say, though, you asked how could they do it. It's what you're seeing. If their bullpen with these young arms can pitch at a really high level, and C.J. Abrams, James Wood, and when Cruz comes back, who had homered in his last two games before he got hurt, or maybe it's Hassel. Like, their young guys play at a really high level, then they're going to hang around. And then maybe Mike Rizzo goes, you know what, shoot, we're four games back, we're three games back. Why don't we go at a piece? We've got players that are expendable in the system. I just think it's a year early, yeah, and I probably wouldn't be in that business if I'm Rizzo. But it is possible. They just got to maintain what they've done over the last week, which I think is going to be difficult.
Nats winners of five in a row. They begin a weekend series against the San Francisco Giants starting tonight. You can hear that over on The Fan, as well as hearing our pal Grant Paulson, 2 to 6:30 with Danny Ruye. Grant, we appreciate you giving us some time, brother.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Good talking to you.
Yes, indeed. That is Grant Paulson. Make sure you check out the Bust and Lose Baseball podcast with him and Toby Altizer wherever you get your podcast. First hour in the books here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Lynnell Willingham sitting in for a guy, Kevin. He's back with you on Monday. Top of the 11 o'clock hour, we will switch gears to the National Football League. Aaron Schatz of ESPN put out his list of the most underrated players at every position in the National Football League. Were there any commanders on this list? We'll touch on that next right here on the Team 980.